Hey everyone, this is Isaac Maddox, and I'm the pastor of Activate Church, and this is our podcast. Remember, you can subscribe to our podcast and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. I hope this message blesses you, encourages you, builds your faith, and I hope you enjoy the message.
Yeah. God has for our lives. Come on, let's thank Him, church. Let's thank Him. This is a seed. This is Heart for the House Sunday. This is a seed. I need a drummer. Angie, get up here. Is Braden here? Braden is hanging around. Get up here. Angie can play every instrument. Get on that drum cage. You need a rhythm. I'm telling you, get ready to thank him. Before we eat some turkey, before we get full of gravy and over-sugared pie, let's give the King of Kings. If you got anything to say, let's thank him. I don't care where you're at or what you believe or where you come from this morning. You came into a place of some people that know how to give thanks to Jesus for what he has done and who he is. From the left side to the back, let's thank him out of our hearts. Let's give him some thanks. Let's give him some thanks. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him for who he is. Thank him for the word. Thank him for his presence. Thank him for heaven. Thank him for every miracle that you've ever received. You are a walking miracle. Let's give him thanks. Let this be a house of thanksgiving. This is a house of prayer. This is a house of praise. This is a house of miracles. This is a house where heaven comes down. Come on, church. Let everything that has breath give them praise. Crash it out. Give them some praise. All right, come on. Give someone a high five. Tell them you love them. Tell them it's good to see them. Tell them good that they came. Heart for the House Sunday. There's so much going on. There's too much going on. Sometimes God is too good. Thanks, bro. How many of you love Andrew? Jess, come on. Thank you, guys. And I love our team. And so much just being overwhelmed that God is moving in our church. So thankful for every testimony. And some of you filmed your testimony. And we're going to release testimonies all throughout next year. And we're trying to figure out how to get testimonies in every service onto our app or our website and categorize them. And so if you know someone that would be encouraged by someone's story, remember the testimony is the power of the gospel in your life. So we are not ashamed of the gospel. We're not ashamed of our testimony. Your testimony is not the gospel. So you worshiping the devil for 30 years is not what people should do. So we're crystal clear. Okay. But the gospel sets you free. What sets you free from 30 years of devil worship is the gospel. That's the power of God unto salvation. But because he did it, you are not ashamed of your testimony. And so your testimony and the word of God and the blood of the Lamb and not loving your life unto the death is what breaks the power of darkness over your life and over this region. That's why we have to share our testimonies, because there's power in our testimonies. Amen? And your testimony brings glory to God. And so, anyways, everybody excited to be in church? Thank you for coming. I love this church. I love you. I'm overwhelmed by what God has done in our church and in your lives. And in so many ways, God's not done. And you might be in the middle of your testimony. And I just want to encourage you, don't give up. If you don't give up, you're going to win. Amen? And so we're taking up an offering. Make no mistake about it. I used to be afraid of talking about money. And yet it's a Goliath oftentimes that we need to face. If you're in financial struggle, in debt, whatever you find yourself today, there's people in this room that will not judge you. They will come alongside of you. And wherever you're, I'm telling you right now, wherever you've been at, there's people in this room that have been far worse. And far worse financial decisions, okay? And so wherever you're at, let that thing that sits on money and greed and depression and financial weight, let that thing be broken. You know what? Whatever comes in today is a seed. And as we plan and as we pray and we get our team together and believe God to show us a building, and I've got crazy enough faith to say, hey, if it's a John Norman way, well, we gotta work hard. And it's gonna be twice as much. John Norman raised five. We got a good friend in London, Norwich. Actually, we're gonna go dedicate his building in March. They raised $5 million, which is incredible. It's an incredible amount of money from a church about our size, maybe a little bit bigger. But they were able, but the building cost $12 million. And so he came over here. Our church planted $10,000 when he was here in July, I believe. And we planted the seeds, needed to be a part of that. And it's just an incredible church in Norwich. And he was talking to me, and he was like, "Hey, man, it's coming your way. Get ready for the fight." I'm like, "I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I'm praying someone just gives me a building. I'm no dummy. I grew up around some faith people that were like, I got a phone call, and someone gave me a building. And they paid for the taxes." I said, "Hallelujah." So, no, I did not receive it. I said, "I reject that in Jesus' name." You don't have to receive everything. Did you know that? I'm too nice of a guy, but I did have a pastor say, "I don't let certain people pray for me. I have too much compassion." But I sometimes if someone prays for me, I have to stop my spirit from receiving it. I'm like, "I reject that in Jesus' name." I receive, especially if it's a prophetic correction. Prophecy is a spirit of encouragement. So you got to shut down those negative Nancy prophets sometimes and say, "You're probably talking about yourself. So go look in the mirror." All right, let's hold on. It's hard for the house. My goodness. Oh, but the heart is deceitfully. Hey, all right. Thank you, Jesus. We're raising some. But I want to give you some word this morning. And I'm a word guy. I want to give you some bread. I want to encourage you wherever you're at. And for some reason, I'm already talking about 2024, even though we have a few more weeks in this year. But I am prophetic. I am a leader. I'm a planner. And as much as I love this moment, oftentimes God will already bring me at the end of the year into next year as we begin to plan and pray. And that's what happened in this offering. I honestly am a pastor. I feel you. I feel your financial situation. I feel your prayer life, your marriage. Life is busy. Life is crazy. I also understand that when something is diagnosed, the prognosis and the diagnosis, oftentimes we get stuck in the sickness of our situation. And so God raises up people. I'm not a perfect person. I'm someone that has been transformed by the word of God. Amen? Anybody transformed by the word of God? And so I have to talk about what transformed me. And the word of God is very good. I just had a chuckle. All by myself, obviously. The word of God is like really good news. And so if you meet a real Christian, hopefully you'll meet a spirit of Christ and the Holy Spirit, which is a spirit of power and comfort, and someone who reminds you of Jesus and transforms you into Jesus. And so when you get around Christians throughout history, they were full of the Spirit of Christ. And so this room is not full of perfect people. We're full of the person of Jesus Christ. And we are the first people that some people might ever see. We don't just encounter Jesus oftentimes like Saul. We encounter the hands and feet of people that represent Jesus. And so oftentimes people will see you first before they ever see Jesus. And so I just want to encourage you this morning. Just take heart. And, I don't know. You know, just get out there and get the old college try. And I'm so glad that we're not full of self-help. This often can look like a TED Talk, or it can look like, because principles from the Word of God transferred to different spheres. But ultimately, I'm here to talk about Jesus, because Jesus is the one that will transform your life. He is the Word of God. Amen. You hungry? You hungry for the Word? All right, let's get into the Word this morning. Let's go to the book of Exodus. And we did a series a long time ago, not that long, about no longer slaves. And we've just been dipping in this as we've been talking about mustard seed faith. This morning is a time of seed. I would encourage all of you to give something in this offering. I would encourage young people, never let an offering, never let soil go by. If I visit a church, I never let a bucket. I want to plant. Again, unless it's a satanic church, which I don't even know why I'd be there. But I don't need it to be a perfect church. It doesn't exist. And so I want to teach people to not despise seed, not to despise a 30-second prayer. Maybe God's leading you into hours of prayer. Awesome. Maybe God's leading you into fasting. I got good news. We're going to be fasting in 2024. that went across real good. and sometimes you'll say, "Well, man, I've done one 40-day fast, and I feel like I'm still recovering." I did that when I was 20 years old. I'm 46 now. done a few Daniel fasts. Any Daniel fasting people? It's basically a diet. All right, cool. No, I'm joking. Under Jesus. No, sorry. Stay focused. A lot of times you'll despise. Maybe God's going to start you out with just skipping breakfast and being in the Word of God. Often you'll just despise it. God, it's not powerful enough. It's not a 40-day fast. Be faithful with little. That's the test. Is when you take $100 and you sow it, you're like, okay, God, I'm having faith. Maybe it's $10, whatever it is. Maybe it's $10,000. Maybe it's $1 million. And you're like, wow, you're sitting on that. You got to start somewhere and uncork that thing that is just whatever, some sort of strategy. If you're ever in a moment, sow something. That's why I always have to give someone something. Someone might tell me, well, that's a drug addict. I was like, I don't know. I'm going to give them $3 and tell them to go get a cheeseburger. Yeah. Just so my conscience is clear. Because I cannot walk by a need and walk by something and just say, be warmed and be filled. I've got to sow something in the name of Jesus. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Pray for them, but get them a coat. Pray for them, but sow something. Amen. Let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 1, and I want to read the birth of the church. This is actually the beginning of God gathering his people together. Egypt was an incubator. He grew the people there. What he does on the inside often takes way too much longer times and stuff like that. So pray for my tongue that I can figure out how to preach here. And so he took 400 years. You ever feel like God is taking forever? He's got because he's incubating you. He's working on the inside. You are his workmanship, and he's not going to hand you the keys of your car until you're ready, or else it would kill you. And so we might be 14, 15, ready for the car, but you're not ready yet. Yeah. And so he's working on you. So he took 400 years to grow this nation, the beginnings of the church, and now he's ready to bust them out. And so we're looking at Exodus chapter 1, verse 6. And Joseph died, and all of his brothers, and all of that generation. But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly. Pause. I just want you to know I'm fired up this morning. And the reason I'm fired up is because Jesus is Lord, and there is a devil. And oftentimes, I think that we wish there wasn't, and we pretend that there isn't good versus evil. I'm the son of a hippie that was saved in the Jesus People movement. And you need to know something about from San Francisco to Seattle, that I-5 corridor through Portland is basically the seedbed for so many destructive, demonic pathologies that have taken root in our country. And you need to understand that the area that we live in, we are a mission field in regards to the gospel. There's a mindset of humanism. There's a mindset, if you track the drugs and the lifestyles and the thinkings that have gotten into academia, so much of it started from people that were not saved in the Jesus People movement. And they became a seedbed against the church. And now we're not against them, but you have to understand the principalities and powers and the thinkings and the mindset of this area is not normal, even in some parts of the world. We can call it whatever we want, but it's people standing in defiance of God. There's no longer even just sometimes the average atheist. There are anti-theists to say, you know what? Not only do I not believe in God, I kind of believe in God and he's bad. that's the spirit that we're dealing with. So oftentimes when we're talking about church, listen, I wish we could just come together and just sing a couple songs, have a cup of coffee, and just, you know, goodbye. But there is a spiritual war going on, and we don't need to be heavy, but we do need to understand what's taking place is more than just our service. There is a war, a spiritual warfare in this region, and that's why the devil does not want to give up territory, does not want us to have a building, does not want the devil. If you read biblically, that's why the demons, when Jesus cast them out, said, put us into the pigs. Why? They did not want to leave the region. The enemy and the darkness over this area does not want to leave. And so that's why when we gather this little light of mine and we come together, the enemy does not want to give up the territory and the people and the mindset and the things that are going on. And that's why, God, this is a battle, but I'm telling you, we are well able to fulfill the call of God on our lives and this church and other churches. And so I'm prophesying a little bit. If there's a war in your spirit, I'm telling you right now, get ready, Get ready. The Holy Spirit's going to anoint you. He's going to give you a word. He's going to place you. Don't back up in fear. Face your Goliath. Get ready to have a word in your spirit. Get ready to hit your knees. Get ready to say and pronounce, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if you don't give up, you're going to win. And you're going to have a story that gives God all the glory. You're going to have a testimony that breaks the power of darkness over your family, over your kids, over this region. And I'm telling you, heaven is about to open over this region through your prayer and through your testimony and through your gifting and through your giving and through your worship and through your prayer and through your counsel. I'm telling you, God is bringing together a family to bring in the lost and to bring in the orphans and to bring in the broken. Because our message, though it has the power of Jesus Christ, what's the first thing that Jesus did when he started his ministry? He put his team together. He put his family together. And so it is just like the devil to say, well, a Christian doesn't need church. No, I need family. You need family. We're not good alone. Carrie goes on a trip and like I don't do good alone. You got to be careful when you're alone. Okay. All right. Let's go to Exodus. Where are we? And he said to his people, this is Pharaoh speaking. Look at what a spirit of fear he has. He says, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. I'm telling you right now, people treat you poorly because they're afraid of you. And it happens in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us so that they might come up out of the land. That was his fear. He did not want to let these people go. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray this morning. I just want to preach on heart for the house. Let God just open up your heart this morning. Maybe it's closed. Maybe it's open. Maybe it's vulnerable. Maybe it's been hurt. But God always starts with the heart. See, I know we're going into a new season because all I do is weep. And I wish I didn't have to lead this church today because I just want to sit on the carpet and worship and enjoy the stories and the testimonies of this room and just encourage people and just love on people, just help people. But here we are leading this church and allowing the Holy Spirit to take this church and possess something. God is taking us out of a safe place, a previous place, bringing us into a new place, and saying it's time to possess. And there's some moments you feel like the grapes are big and awesome, and then one moment you feel like the giants are huge. And God says, it's all part of the plan, and it's all good. But get ready to have a fresh spirit of faith in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for today. We love you so much. Just get all the glory. I ask you just to fill every single person in this room. Let them not see me. Let them not think it's about money. Of course, it takes money. It takes people and resource. But God, ultimately, you're trying to get our hearts and unify a group of people, the ecclesia, the church. Bring them together as a mighty army on this earth, in this time, in our generation. God, that we wouldn't put everything off to heaven. We would say, Lord, we want your word today in our lifetime. You had us in mind when you thought about this region. You had us in mind before time even began. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. Amen. Anybody grow up in church? Any church babies? Yeah? 1980s. Woo, woo. Amen. And though that's for me. Born in 1977. But I love church, but not all of it. I love Jesus. I loved Sundays where we had about 200 people in our church, and it was awesome at times, and I'm thankful for it. I got filled with the Holy Spirit in church. I got Jesus in church, and yeah, my parents, but all like so many moments like that are, you know, seared into my memory, happy moments in church, a few awkward moments. You know, we grew up in church with an overhead projector, and the thing about the overhead projector, or really anybody serving in church back then, it wasn't based on your gifting. It was just based on the fact that you wanted to. And so I think church leadership was like, oh, you want to? Well, then go ahead. And so sweet little sister, you know, sister whatever, Sister Susie over here. And Sister Susie is probably more of a prayer warrior. So though the next verse she needs to flip the transparency, she's just, you know, our God is an awesome God, he reigns. And little Susie's just lost in the spirit, right? And so we're like four slides behind, and it's not helping out, right? And you know, it was awkward bringing people to church. I was trying to be an evangelist in my generation, and so they bring them in, and my mom is just doing 360s. My mom, who's with Jesus, she'd just be doing 360s, no matter what song, really. We try to teach the worship team too. Hey, if we're like proclaiming your name is high, don't do that. You're like doing this, right? That's when you like raise your hand. And then if like you're having a moment where you're trying to receive, and both are difficult, both you got to learn how to receive. That's why we do this. It's just an outward, you know, we're trying to receive. Anyway, my mom never, and she just, it's just, like, who is that? That's my mom. Okay. She used to be a hippie. It's cool. She just, you know, she was a Hindu and she lived in a teepee. And so when Jesus set her free, she just, yeah, she couldn't help it. And we used to do open mic back then. I don't know if you remember open mic, but I used to look up and know it was going to be a long service in between the worship and the word. There might be like 10 people deep. We didn't stop it. We just thought that was the spirit. It didn't need any help, you know. So, you know, we would usually, if there was 10 people, it'd be about the same. Now, again, these aren't like the people maybe gifted to prophesy or tested to prophesy. They just wanted to. And so you're like, it's the same thing with open mic testimony. Someone might just get up there, and they're still in the test phase of their money. There's no money. It's just, they get up, and they're like, yeah, I lost my house. It sounds like a country music song. You know, I lost my house, lost my wife, lost my dog. Lost my job, lost my mind. Pray for me. And you're like, well, I don't know if that's a testimony. There's nothing redemptive about what just took place, right? So we'd have these prophecies, and I just see a valley, and the valley is a valley, and there's some valley in the valley, and it might be the valley of the shadow of death. It might be the valley in Bethlehem. It might be the lily of the valley. I just see a valley and a water and a leaf. Amen. And you're like, you'd almost need an interpretation for it. Sometimes someone would get up and fake it. That means that the Lord is good. Amen. Let's move on. All right, worship team, come on. Anyway, I love the church here. I'm tongue in cheek here. I'm talking about my family. I'm talking about my mom, I guess. And youth group, they used to throw, it was like three of us. And so they play videos, like creation videos. Like they're like 4 hours long on like Mount St. Helens and white evolutionism. And it's just like, wow. And so I would sneak out. And again, I would do four of us. And I would just sneak out. We had pews back then. And we would just sneak out and find gum under, you know, sort of play with it, I guess. And it was gross. And I started to get a reputation with my mom. Because, again, she was having a super personal revival in her life. She was concerned about me. Even though, again, I love Jesus. I was full of the Holy Spirit. I was bringing my friends to church. I read my Bible. I'm 12. I'm like, I'm doing pretty good compared to most people. And she, I remember one time I had this spray deodorant, and I sprayed it along before I got in the car. She's like, what is that? Is that alcohol? Yeah. She said, like, Mom, it's deodorant. So it was just that phase of my life. And I was, you know, I went out for the Christmas production, and I got denied everything, every role, every song, choir, secondary choir, the third choir. They put me in the back. They put me like way in the back corner, and they gave me an egg. And so I got to like shake an egg at the right time. Just, I think there was like three shakes of the egg that I was supposed to do. The problem with Christmas productions back then, they're like, you know, 6 hours long on a Saturday. And I'm just like, you know, I'm about to like die. Come on, I'm 12. And so I started just throwing it up in the air. And I gave it one last chuck, and it got stuck up in this little light. And they couldn't get it. It was stuck forever. Well, it was some sweet saint's egg that she bought with her own money. So I got you know, taken in front of the elders, and I got told that I need to shape up. You know, I need to shape up. And so I was having a rough summer at 12. serving Jesus. I just kept, the hits kept coming, and they kind of crescendoed in one afternoon in the summertime when me and Dan kind of came in and off the river, and we were just, you know, just being teenagers, and there was an arcade at our church, and so we went upstairs to play, and I had a lot of energy. I came down, and brother elder Larry, who I was best friends with his son, he was Uncle Larry. We were like family. So I felt we were close. And how I showed my closeness back then is I might, you know, give you a little moon. You know, that's what we did in the 80s, okay? And so I was in his office, and I didn't give him a full moon. Not even a half of moon. It was like a quarter of a moon. It was like a sliver of a moon. I just, whoop. Well, that was it, man. They're about to kick me out of the church. And so I just wanted to say all those stories to tell you that there's healing for all church wounds, okay? I just want to let you know that wherever you're at this morning, that God can heal your heart, okay? Even if you mooned a pastor, all right? God can heal you. But whether it's a funny story or it's not a funny story, there's awkwardness. There's moments, there's conversations that take place in church that cause us to pull back, be hurt. And for me, God started to speak to me about his bride, about his house, about his church. God started to break my heart for the church. And I did not want it to happen. But well, God will have his way in your heart. He's trying to get to your heart. I just want you to know that this is a season, this is a Sunday where God's saying, trust me with your heart. I want your heart to be back into my house. Even some of you have gone to this church maybe for 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, and you haven't put your heart here yet. You're just attending. You're just kind of showing up. And God's saying, I want your heart now. I want you to put your heart into this place because this is the house that I have for you. This is a house to raise your kids. This is a house to reach people. This is a house of healing. Don't wait around for the perfect church. But when God begins to put his heart in your heart and your heart gets planted, stuff comes up and God wants you to know he wants to heal, he wants to wash, he wants to transform, he wants to redeem all of the stories, all of the testimonies, all of the trauma, all of the trials. God's saying, I know there's people, it's a gathering, look at my children. Could you imagine God is so big that he puts all of the people he tried to reach in his book? If I was to write a book and I was God, I would not show all of the things that took place in our story. I would not put Judas in the Bible. I would leave him out. I called 11, right? I wouldn't have written Exodus. I would have written Joshua. I rose up a Moses and it didn't work out. He had an anger problem. So I raised up a Joshua. God doesn't skip any of the details. And so that tells me he is big enough to handle whatever you've gone through to wash, renew, restore, heal your heart, and plant it in the house of God so you can bloom and you can flourish and you can help people in your lifetime. Heart for the house is about God. Would you heal my heart? Would you plant my heart? And God began to work on my heart at an early age in the middle of my goofy, awkward junior high, freshman year, sophomore year. God begins to break my heart for this goofy thing called the church and whatever church experience you had. And there's highs and there's lows. But God began to put a burden and I was saying no. That's how big your God is. I'm like, no. I love you, Jesus. I love the gospel. I love Indonesia. I love the third world. I love the tent revivals. But I don't like the American church because they're over fat with doctrine and they're not walking out your plan. And I was angry. Yeah. But God said, this is my house. This is my bride. Yeah. And so God takes your heart. He starts to break your heart. That's why I have a hard time talking bad about churches. And you find me on a bad day, we have a little maybe honest moment about your story, because I got some honest moments. I'm not here to get weird. We can share our honesty with honor. And I don't think we need to be fake. I think we need to be able to connect and talk. But don't stay there. Don't let that spirit get on you where you start talking bad and you start cursing and you start judging. And basically what you're doing is you're removing yourself from something that God says, I'm trying to bring you together. Have you noticed that we're always trying to get distance from everybody? I wouldn't do that. And Paul's like, I'm the chief of sinners. Jesus is known as the man of sorrows. And he said, I'm just like you. And God's trying to raise up Christians and say, stop trying to separate from the world. They need you. Bear one another's burdens. Get in there with them. You don't need to be like them, but you need to be in proximity to them in order to help them. Jesus left heaven. He left glory. the only way we can do it. But God has to heal our hearts so we don't continually hurt each other and bring about the cycle of dysfunction. And so God will raise up a man, he'll raise up a woman to break the cycle of dysfunction. If you are confused why you see things differently than your parents, first of all, honor them, because you don't know what they had to fight with their parents. But ultimately, because God has called you to break something, to break a cycle of something, and to start something new in your legacy and in your generations. That's why God will never let it be just about you. It's about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's about the generations. The youth are already doing stuff on Wednesday that I'm like, I don't know. But God is raising up a new, I'm just joking, I like music style. Sometimes we don't, you know, see on the same page. There's just a different vibe. I'm already feeling a little bit like an old fuddy-duddy sometimes. I'm like, hold on, Jude. Hold on. Hold on, TJ. Hold on, Corey. That's not how it's done. In 1988, what we... And so, yes, some things are foundational. Worship, yeah. Word, yeah. Prayer, yeah. Fellowship, there are some things that are memorial stones. In a generation, that you best pick up that stone and bring it with you. But it might be cloaked in the context of something different, because this generation that's hooked on screens might not need to hear how I feel about it, but they might need a generation that's anointed to break the TikTok thing on this generation. I don't know, but God will give you a strategy on how to reach your generation, how to reach your neighbors, and how to bring glory to God. Anyway, let's focus, my goodness, Jesus. The enemy does not want you to leave where you're at. The enemy does not want you to leave where you're at. Pharaoh did not want the children of Israel to leave. That came from him. He was full of fear. He was full of insecurity. He did not want the children of Israel to leave. So he sent the taskmasters. He put the burden on them because of the fear inside of him that the people would leave. They would leave Egypt. The enemy is hell-bent on keeping you right where you're at. That is one of the greatest reasons it is so difficult to break through ground. Because all of a sudden you're like, we're going to start coming to church every Sunday. The enemy is going to resist that. The enemy is going to resist. You're going to start praying prayers of faith and prayers of miracles. And you're going to feel dumb. You're going to feel, I don't know what I'm doing. Because you don't. But you're leaving where you've been at. And one of the most difficult things because of fear is, number one, oh, well, hold on, this isn't going to work out. I'm going to look stupid. I'm not really good at this. And that's another reason we don't try things, because we're not good at them. None of us like to not be good at things. That's all right. That's why faith is risky. But we don't want to leave the place that we're at, because we're often loyal to it, because Egypt was a place of provision. Egypt was something that saved us. Egypt was something that served us. It saved Joseph and our patriarchs. And so we become loyal to this thing that helped us and it served us. And it kept us safe and it sustained us. But at some point, it becomes and enslaves you. And so God says, once something that used to serve you is now enslaving you, I've got to set you free and bring a fresh word into your life. But your past doesn't want you to leave. The enemy doesn't want you to leave. There's certain people in your life that don't want you to leave. Because if you break through and something they've given up on, they will look bad. So they'll speak fear over you. Well, this is how it is. And you got to be careful not to listen to a spirit of fear in 2024. As for me and my house, baby, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to make money. We're going to build companies. We're going to reach lost people. Whatever the problem is, good. We'll figure it out. A generation hooked on screens, good. We'll figure it out. Where there's darkness, there will be light, and the light will shine brightest in the darkness. God will raise up a voice of faith and prophetic in order to counter that spirit of fear that's all around you. Pharaoh and the entire nation was like, we can't let these people go. The entire spirit and motive for Pharaoh was, we can't let them go. 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 And it gets in the atmosphere. It gets baked into the cake. Well, we can't. We can't. We can't. Well, we can't. We can't. We can't. We can't. We can't. We can't. We can't do this. We can't. And you even start calling things that are fake. Well, you know, we're just trying to balance things. We're trying to do this. And it's all from a spirit of fear. It's not even faith. It's fear. You call it faith, but it's fear. You call it wisdom, but it's fear. And the thing was that Pharaoh had this fear. He puts it on the people. It gets everywhere. But I'm leaving. I'm leaving. Because the enemy will project and put his fear on you. That's the spirit of sin. That's the spirit
of the enemy. The enemy was rejected out of heaven. Why? Because he said, I will exalt myself above the throne of God. He falls like lightning to the earth, and he now walks around talking to Adam and Eve, talking to us, and he's putting all of his rejection and all of his fear and all of his stuff on us. And it gets into our flesh, it gets into our soul, it gets on us, and so the fear starts driving decisions. Don't make decisions out of fear. Break that thing. I feel like we're at a New Year's Eve service. Sorry. I'm just saying, I'm so much in prayer in 2024. We there's so much left in 2023. Thank you, Jesus. Don't make decisions out of fear. Well, if I start a small group, you know, that doesn't sound like faith. And well, you know, if I invite that person, if I go out to lunch, it's going to go on so long. It's going to do this. Break that spirit of fear and let God bring back a spirit of faith, because your fear might be someone else's fear. I love that faith is contagious. Even right now, some of you are picking up some faith. It's the same thing, though. All week long, you might be picking up someone's fear. So you got to wash in the Word. The Word of God is water. Because you might just be picking up on fear. And one of the biggest voices that seeds get planted is from people that we love. You know? And they just plant a seed of fear in your life. Well, don't open up too much to Annalise, because Annalise will use that against you. That's what my wife did. Yeah, don't get too vulnerable. Yeah, they'll start using that against you. Yeah. Yeah, don't serve in the church, because Isaac. Oh, I know Isaac. Yeah, he'll just use you. Oh yeah. Yeah, don't do. And you just get this fear. Oh, you're married. Oh yeah. After 5 years. Oh yeah, the 7-year itch is coming. Oh yeah, you've been married 6 years. Ooh, good luck. 7-year itch is coming. Oh, 10 years. Ooh, yeah, 10 years. You know what I heard about 10 years? And they're just planting fear in your heart. Don't get your hopes up. Don't get your hopes up. Well, where does faith come from? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So the people of God ought to be the biggest people of hope and biggest dispensers of hope. There's hope this year. There's hope for your finances. There's hope for your business. There's hope for your mind. There's hope for your family. And so we are people that are anchored. See, when hope gets anchored in Christ, our anchor goes nowhere, eventually giving us faith. Hope. So we break that fear that so easily gets on us, and we find ourselves, because we are creatures of osmosis, you've got to be careful that if you get around some atmospheres that are not conducive to faith, I cannot hang out too long. And if you can hang out, you need to take a deep look inside. Because I can handle some people's demons for so long. That's why even when I was in high school, people were like, well, as a Christian, can you go to a party? Yeah, I can go to a party. For about 20 minutes. And then that spirit, I go, whoa, we're having a conflict of spirits, and the Holy Spirit and the demonic spirit here are not getting along. I gotta go. One time I was visiting a youth group, I saw the worship leader come around the corner with like 2 24 packs, and I was like, okay, well, that might be a problem. He's like 17, so that might be a problem. But the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you, because I can't let what's on you get on me, because I'm on mission. And you're not on a mission. And my mission is in submission to his mission. And so I'm obedient to the Word of God, and there's safety in the Word of God, and yet I'm an evangelist, and yet I love you. I just can't stay in certain dark regions for too long. And so God says, it's time to bust you out. Did you know this about Pharaoh? I love this. Pharaoh said this: look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. The enemy might think of you higher than you think of yourself. That's not good. Could you imagine if you were afraid of so many people in your life, and yet they actually liked you? And if they did treat you wrong, it was because they didn't like themselves and had nothing to do with you. And so you got the children of Israel afraid of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh afraid of the children of Israel. The perspective that you have on yourself cannot be less than reality, cannot be less than what people think. God help us. If someone in your life actually believes in you and loves you, and you think everyone around you hates you and is against you, Pharaoh's like, man, these people are awesome. And the people are like, we suck. Like, that's not good. So God wants to show you who you are. He wants to show you who you are and say, something has got on you. that needs to be broken. You don't even see yourself the way I see you. And you are thinking wrong about what people think about you. There's people in your life that actually love you and are for you. And they are a work in progress. But you're sitting there. So I just want to start today. The whole image campaign needs to stop for your life. Your perception, the way you think of yourself, let go of perception so you can work on the real you. No longer be afraid or no longer be working on your image. Let everything of image fall off today. The image of your Christianity, the image of your faith, the image of whatever. The image campaign stops today so you can work on the real you. Because when image drives you, you are only concerned about what people think of your image, and then what do you spend your prayer, your faith, your time, your money on? Your image. And so God says, I don't care about your image. Stop the campaign. The campaign for Isaac Maddox's image and what people think stops today. So I can put all of my resource on the real me and allow God to touch me in the deepest and most real and honest parts of my life, because I want to be transformed into the image of God. And so God, when he comes and he gives the people the Ten Commandments, he brings them out of the promised land and says, I'm bringing you out, but I want you to go in. See, God will get you out, but he's got to get you in. They never got in to possess the promised land. God says, I want to get you out. I got you out of darkness. I got you out of COVID, but some of you have not possessed the new season that God has. And so he says, I've got you out, but you're wandering. And so now is a fresh impartation of faith in order for you to go in and possess the promise of the land that I have for you. It's a land of stability. It's a plan. It's a place of consistency. Where I'm bringing you is in ownership and stability. You're not going to go up and you're not going to go down. But what God did is he delivered a people that were 400 years in slavery and said, in 40 days, I'm going to take you out and I'm going to bring you in if you can grab hold of a fresh faith. Because when God takes you out, he doesn't say, all right, now we're going to wait around. No, he goes, I want you to possess something immediately, because I got you out of Egypt, but now I got to get Egypt out of you. And so when you go to possess something, you grab hold of something new. And when you grab hold of something new, you let go of something old. That's what Jesus says. This kind, remember mustard seed? This sign comes out by prayer and fasting. I want you to grab hold of spiritual food so you can let go of natural food. But because we don't fast and pray at noon, we just sit at our lunchtime break and starve. What kind of burrito is that? And we, quote unquote, can't fast because we work manual labor or we work with people. Or it's difficult. And God goes, but that's the point. Because does it feel like you're dying when you're fasting? Yes. That's what the children of Israel thought. They said, God, you're trying to kill us. And God said, no, I'm trying to kill what's in you, trying to kill you. Egypt is inside. I know you don't want to be like your mom and dad, but that's not enough. Sorry, you're probably going to be just like them. Unless you allow me to kill what's in your family line. Knowing what you don't want is not enough to get what you want. God says, I got to get mom and dad out of you. I got to get that thing out of you. And so I'm going to ask you to possess something. I'm going to ask you to grab hold of something. Worship team coming up. And so when God gives the people the Ten Commandments, he says, and this isn't easy to preach, because this is very, whenever you have parallel truths, it can often be difficult. But God gives the children of Israel the Ten Commandments, and he says, I don't want you to have any other image before me. I don't want you to have any carved images that represent me. I am the unseen God. I will show you who I am. So what I'll do is I'll give you my name. What you get is a name. And so you call upon a name to enter into relationship with the living creator God. And you will know me through my name. You will know me through relationship. You will know me through my word. You will know me through me revealing who I am. Now, if you stumble upon someone's image of what they saw, I need you to be careful that your revelation does not come through that image only. If it encourages you, great. If it inspires you, great. But salvation comes through revelation, not through an accumulation of knowledge. It doesn't mean that knowledge and explanation does not help. It does help. But God is revealed through his word. Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father has revealed that to you, right? And then God goes on in the Ten Commandments, the 10th commandment, and he says, I don't want you to covet your neighbor's wife. I don't want you to covet your neighbor's house. I don't want you to covet an image of how I've blessed somebody else. I don't want what I did for them to now be the revelation of what I'm going to do for you. I want you to tear down that image that you have of me. I want you to tear down that image that you have of what I have for you. And I want you to come to me and allow me to inspire and reveal through my word what I have for you. And now it's difficult because we are vision people. God's a vision God. Peter and Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. And so we have this idea of God. Proverbs 29:18, without a vision, the people will perish. You're a God of vision. You're a God of show and tell. You're a God of let me show you something. But the problem is it starts off that way, but then a vision becomes an image that I'm now going after. And I no longer hear from God or see from God. And I maybe just borrowed your revelation from God that became an image. And now that image has become my God. When God says, I don't want you to look at someone else for what I'm going to do in you. You be inspired? No problem. Imitation's the beginning, right? When you're young, you imitate. But then at some point, God says, okay, now I'm going to take over. Now I'm going to be your father. I'm going to be your savior. People might not see Jesus. They might see you. So you might be the entry point. But at some point, you got to pass them off, right? Follow me as I follow Christ. Because though you come to me as the representation, I want to pass you as quick as I can to Jesus so that he can speak to you. I love this in Ephesians 3:20. It's amazing the word imagine. We don't think about it like this, but biblically speaking, the original word was not a great word. In the old English, imagine was like not, it was not a good word. It was, I know you're imagining things, maybe good or bad about God or about your house or about your future. But tear that down and let God speak to you from the inside out. Because it all has to be from the inside out, not from the outside in. That's why raising kids is tough. Because they might look like Christians. But I got to make sure, no judgment, I just got to make sure that the Father has revealed the Son to my son. That I connect to church, not to me. Love me, encourage me. I'm a gift to the body, and so are you. But I'm here to connect you to the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so that God can show up and speak to you and enlighten you and give you vision for your life, that you're not just hijacking something that you saw on Instagram and throwing a verse at it and calling it God. God said, I don't want any images between you and me. I don't want you to have any images. Don't pick up any coveting from your neighbor's car or your neighbor's house or your neighbor's business. Baby, you come to me and I, because what really you need and what will inspire you and fulfill you is a God-inspired dream and a God-inspired word and a God-inspired vision. And it's with that vision that you won't perish. And it's with that vision that you'll put on restraints. It's with that vision that you'll say, God, whether you slay me or whether you raise me up, whether you heal me or whether you anoint me, God, come hell or high water, I will serve you, I will love you, I will lift up your name, because it's not what you do for me that causes me to love you, it's who you are that causes me to give my life to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come to me,
all who are thirsty. That's why we have to tell people, seek Jesus, seek Jesus, seek Jesus, seek the living water, seek the name of Jesus, because only Jesus can reveal Jesus to someone on the inside. Doesn't make sense all the time, because right now I'm saying the name of Jesus, but I'm not in control of someone's salvation. Only someone's spirit can open up to Jesus. And Jesus can go inside. Salvation, conversion, is one of the most powerful things and proofs of God. That's why, young people, you got to see your friends saved as quick as possible, because your faith will go through the roof. Some of you are wrestling with your faith because you haven't given it away. Not for everybody. But I'm just saying, something happens when you bring someone and they see Jesus and their life gets transformed. I'm telling you, the image of the unseen God gets seen by someone on the inside, and they go, oh, I just saw Jesus. It isn't like, well, what did you see? I don't know. It was in my spirit. We become so carnal to tell a generation, hey, if you just come to church, you'll get saved. I don't know. But someone has to see it in their spirit. And so we tear down every image. We tear down every idol. We tear down every covetous thing and say, God, we're dependent upon seeing you. We don't know what our future looks like. We don't know what the building's going to look like. We don't know what revival's going to look like. It might look a little bit like this and a little bit like that. All we know is that we're asking for heaven to come to earth. We're asking for your Holy Spirit to be poured out. And all I know is, God, I want to see you. 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 Open up your heart this morning and say, God, I tear down every image. I didn't even know that I was coveting. I didn't even know that I was in idolatry. I had no idea, but I tear down every image and say, God, I can't know you without you showing me. I can't raise my kids without you showing me. I'm dependent upon the unseen God who always was and who always is in order to show me. I need a vision. A vision is a spiritual revelation of the Word of God that is timeless, that that beginning was the Word, and when everything through the Word was created. That is that word that will bring and speak light into my heart. And only through the Word of God can I see Jesus. Can I hear Jesus? I want to see. I don't even know. I see a building. Yeah, people making fun of me right now. Sometimes with the pickleball courts and the swimming pool. All I know is I want to win back the Pacific Northwest to say, hey, we're a church. That's why we're going down to Christmas in the Park. Because sometimes it's come to church and sometimes it's go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so that's why we do what we do. I don't even know what it's going to look like. But I do know that God's raising up a church to go into a community and say, here we are. Here we are. For your kids, here we are for your family. I don't know what it's gonna look like, but all I know is I want to see the face of God and His glory fill the house. I want to see His presence fill the house. I want to see a church where every Sunday, the saints gather together to worship the eternal God. I want to see thousands of people bringing their moms, bringing their dads, bringing their uncles, bringing their kids to say, we will go to the house of God. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. The Holy Spirit right now is opening up hearts. Don't hear me, hear the Spirit. Don't hear me, don't hear us, hear the Spirit. Let the Spirit of the living God open up your heart this morning to say, I want to show you something. I want to speak to you something. Tear down the image. Tear down the idea. Let me show you and let me speak to you. I see a generation of young people going to the mission field. I see a house of prayer. I see 24/7 prayer. I see healings. I see healing rooms. I see counseling centers. I see small groups. I see ministries. I see you in the house of God. I see you teaching. I see you preaching. I see you writing. I see you praying. I see you healing. We're saying, God, here we are. We want to see your glory. We want to see your glory. We want to see your face. Lord, we know we need a house to have a home. We know we need to lay hands on people, but you heal. God, whatever it looks like, we just want to see your glory. We want to see your power in our lifetime. I just want to see your face. I want to see your glory. I want to see heaven come to earth. I want to see tens of thousands of miracles, cancers, blood disease, incurable disease healed in the house of God. I want to see hearts healed by the love that's in this room. I want to see someone's soul, 10, 20 years of depression and agony and loneliness, healed in a moment. Oh, what God can do in a moment. Oh, what God can heal when a group of people say we're willing to possess what God has for us. We're willing to grab hold of the new. We're willing to grab hold of what he's called us. We're willing to let go. We're willing to let go of the past and the previous place. Man, I gotta stop, but I can't. But this will continue. What starts in our church, it's just a seed. The journey of this church is seed. And he's calling anyone that hears, he who has ears, let him hear. I'm calling you to seed. Whatever you do, plant it. Plant it in your marriage. Plant it in your business. Plant it in your kids. Plant it. Plant it. Speak it. It's a seed. Gus and I, if you'll plant it, if you'll be faithful with little, over the next 2 to 3 to 4 to 5, 6, 7 years, you will begin to see a harvest in the families, in the homes, in the high schools, in the businesses. You'll start to see even the political realm begin to shift over this region. I just need someone to look at a seed and be willing to plant it. Planet. We're going to take up this offering and then we're going to worship. Plant a seed today, whatever's on your heart. Not out of fear, but out of faith that God, you are so big. You're holy. You're holy. You're holy. Lord, we just see worship services where we join in with the angels and the angelic choir to sing holy, holy, holy. We see the gifts given to people in this room to be used. We're going to sow, we're going to give. You can pledge something. You can give on the app. We're going to pass the buckets. Our team will be up here to pray. If you're someone that's like, man, I want to sow this seed today, but I want someone to pray as I sow. We got some people up here that'll pray with you. This is holy. Say, Lord, would you move over the Pacific Northwest? Would you move? As we sing this song, feel free to come up and sow and give wherever you're at. Pledge. We're gonna sing this song and we're gonna show the city again. Let's make history. It's a video Robert and team made years ago. Let God break your heart for people. Let him speak to your heart. Say, God, I thank you. I thank you. Let your glory fill the temple. Let your glory fill the temple. Okay, Jesus. Lord, we sow in faith today. We sow in faith. We give in faith. Lord, we thank you for the seed. We wouldn't have seed if you didn't provide a previous harvest. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you've done.
Jesus for my family.
Thank you for what you've done. Lord, we praise you for what you're about to do. Lord, we praise you for what you're about to do. We thank you that you're about to shake the earth. We thank you that you're about to shake heaven and earth. Call people home. Lord, we thank you that you call. to receive a blessing. Do you remember when Abraham and Lot, do you remember when they went out, Abraham and Lot? And Abraham said, Lot, you can pick whatever you want. That's a man of faith, but why? Lot, you pick whatever you want. Both of their households were so big. So they go out. Abraham's like, pick whatever you want. You go one way, I'll go the other. Why? Because Abraham said, it don't matter where I go. I'm blessed. It's not about the north or the south. God has blessed me. God has favored me. God has anointed me. And so wherever I go, I will sow and I will reap, because the favor and the blessing of God is upon me. Whether I go out or I come in, whether I lose my job or I gain a job, doesn't matter where I go. Where I'm going is in faith, and where I'm going, I'm blessed. And where I'm taking, I'm blessed. Where I'm blessed. When I go to work, I'm blessed. When I come home, I'm blessed. Lord, I just ask you to bless every person in this place. Just receive the favor of your Father. Receive the favor. Man, it's such a prophetic day. The first thing the Father spoke to Jesus at his baptism was, this is my Son, who I'm well pleased. God just wants you to know he loves you. Some of you have been trying to earn so hard that favor, and God says, I want to just give it to you. Would you receive it by faith? Every person in this place, if you feel comfortable, just put your hands out or grab hold of someone's hand. God just asks, your Father just wants to say, I love you. I bless you. This is my Son. This is my daughter who I'm well pleased. Let the love of God come on you. Let the love of Jesus just fill you. Let the love of your Heavenly Father just fill you. Let the Holy Spirit just fill you. He's the one that is transforming you into the image of God. That's why you got to tear down every image, because you've been made in the image of your Heavenly Father. And that is all the image I ever need, is the one that he shows me and the one that he gives me. We tear down all other images. And we say, Lord, we receive your blessing. We receive your favor. We receive your anointing. We receive in Jesus' name. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for what you've done today. And we thank you that you're just getting started. We take this blessing and we go home and we plant it. And we begin to possess what you've called us to possess. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's give him some glory. Come on, let's give him some glory. Give him some glory. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's thank him. Let's praise him. Let's worship him. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Thank you, Jesus. If you want some prayer, come on up. We're going to get out of here. We love you. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be encouraged. If you need some prayer, come on up. Have an awesome week. Have an awesome Thanksgiving. We'll see you next Sunday.